Welcome to the Victor Orlando Podcast. We exist to reach people with the life-giving message of Jesus and to connect them with their purpose. To learn more about us, visit us at victoryorlando.com. Thanks for listening. We pray that you are encouraged and inspired by today's message.
Well, what's up, Victory? Thank you so much for joining us here at Church Online. I'm Pastor Chris. I'm the pastor here at Victory. One of the things that we do here at Victory is we believe we're a local church with a global vision, and we've been all about building water wells and rescue homes all around the world, but focusing in Southeast Asia. I just received a great report this last week. You can see on the screen some of the pictures that have come in of one of the water wells that has just been completed that we helped build. Come on, I just want to say thank you, Victory, for making a difference all around the world. And we have another opportunity to make a difference right here in East Orlando. Coming up this Saturday, May 1st, we're going to be going out for another food box distribution. I just want to invite you to come be a part. We're going to be meeting this Saturday, 12 noon, at the Team Center to pack up the boxes. And then at 1:30, we'll be out giving the boxes away. Come be a part of helping us make a difference in the lives of people here in our city. And then just a few weeks from now is Mother's Day. I want you to get prepared, buy some flowers, a card, maybe a gift for your mama. Tell her that you love her. It's Sunday, May 9th. And of course, bring her with you to church here at Victory that day, 9:15 and 11 a.m. It's going to be an amazing day. We're going to have something for every mom that's present that day. You know, the Bible says where two or three are gathered, God is there in their midst. That means that today something supernatural is going to happen. We're gathered in a lot of different rooms right now, but I believe God is in our midst. Do you believe that? Come on. I know God is going to do something amazing in the lives of each of us today and in the days to come. And over the last few weeks, we've been talking about what it means to be sons and daughters of God and how we find our identity in that. We know that when a person puts their faith in Jesus as their Savior, they confess their sins, receive Christ in their life, we are literally adopted into the family of God. We become God's sons and daughters. Turn in your Bibles with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 18. I want to show you where God says this. And this verse has really been our theme verse over the last couple weeks. Verse 18 says, "And I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and my daughters, says the Lord Almighty." That is who you are. You are a son. You are a daughter of God. That means you are approved. You are accepted. You don't have to try to do anything to earn God's love. He is your father, and he loves you. This is a transformational moment, really, when we can grab a hold of the truth of our sonship or our daughtership so that we can begin to experience the fullness that God has for us in his house. So this weekend, I want to continue to build on that truth in our Sons and Daughters series. And I want to look at something that I believe really keeps a lot of people from embracing their sonship and their daughtership and living in the reality of what that means. But before we get into the message, let's take a moment and pray together. Lord, I just thank you right now that you're in our midst. We're gathered here to worship you and to hear from you. So God, I pray today you speak to us. We give you permission to move in our lives today. Let your word go deep inside of our heart. Let it come alive and take root in us and produce the fruit of your spirit, because we are good ground. And if you agree, let me hear you shout amen. Today, the word of the Lord is freedom from the orphan spirit. Now, up until a few years ago, I had never heard this phrase, the orphan spirit, and I had to learn what it meant. I didn't really know what it was and even what it meant for my identity in Christ. Maybe you're wondering, Pastor, what is the orphan spirit? That's a great question. Thanks for asking. The orphan spirit is something that affects every single person, those in the family of God who have been saved and those outside the family of God, outside the church. I believe that the orphan spirit, this idea, is one of the main schemes that our spiritual enemy, the devil, is one of his most clever tactics to keep as many people as possible from walking in their sonship and daughtership through Jesus and experiencing what that is. A simple definition of the orphan spirit is disconnection from the Father and no home. The orphan spirit is a mindset. It's a way of thinking and believing that is contrary to the truth of God's word, that you are a son, you are a daughter of God. It's a trap of our spiritual enemy, the devil, to get a person disconnected from God the Father and feeling like they have no home, no place. And it constantly rears its ugly head in every person through the attitudes of our hearts, through unchecked thoughts, and through our reactions to all the things we experience in this life. And if we can't see ourselves as sons and daughters of God, then you can be certain we are seeing ourselves and everything around us through the orphan spirit. But God's will for every single person, come on, let's lean in. God's will for every single person is that we would be set free from the orphan spirit, that we would receive His Spirit, which is the spirit of adoption as His sons and His daughters. Now, in our culture and society, someone who is an orphan is disconnected from their father. They don't have a parent figure in their life, and then they have no home. They're disconnected from the father, and they have no home. The opposite effect is also true. Anytime a person feels like there's a connection to a father, then they will always have a home. Ever seen that movie, The Pursuit of Happiness? By the way, speaking of movies, we've got our series At the Movies coming up this summer. I'm so excited. Every weekend in July, it's gonna be our best one yet. You don't wanna miss it. Now, in this movie, The Pursuit of Happiness, right? It's a true story of a man and his son. This man, he lost everything. He had worked hard, but situations happened and he ended up no money. He ended up homeless, but he worked hard. He rose above all the struggles, all the problems, all the opposition to achieve happiness and greatness and getting a new job and a new career, became successful when so many people told him that he couldn't and he would never make it. What's interesting about this movie is that through all the struggles of being homeless and all this, the son never felt like he didn't have a phone because he always felt connected to the father. Even when they were homeless and sleeping in a subway station, the son never felt like he didn't have a home. See, as long as we have a connection to our Heavenly Father, we will always feel like we have a home. But when we feel disconnected from our Father God, that's when the orphan spirit moves in and tries to grip a person's life. See, the orphan spirit can affect every single person. And when it does move in, like a person can feel insecure, feel anxious, no peace, can feel totally exposed and unprotected, even can feel abandoned. That's what the orphan spirit wants to try to do. Now remember Jesus, when he was on the cross, he spoke 7 specific phrases that are recorded in the Gospels while he was on the cross. We know the scene. He was beaten, abused, nailed to the cross. He's been hanging there, hurting, suffering, dying for the sins of the world. In Matthew chapter 27, verse 46, Jesus makes one of these powerful statements from the cross. It says, about 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lemek sabachthani." Excuse my Hebrew if I didn't pronounce it correct. But it means, my God, why have you forsaken me? I believe that it was in this moment right here where Jesus is crying out to the Father, "Why have you forsaken me?" that he was taking all of the sins of humanity on himself. And it was in that moment that he experienced disconnection from the Father, because that's what sin does. It disconnects us from the Father. See, throughout his whole life on the earth, Jesus, he lived 33 years, and we have recorded it, in especially in great detail, the last 3 years of his life, his ministry, the miracles. We see Jesus traveling around teaching, showing us what it means to have deep and personal connection with the Father. But here on the cross is this moment, like he's recognizing, I'm disconnected from the Father. Like, and if we're really honest, like, isn't that what hell really is? Think about that for a minute. The ultimate torment of hell is being eternally disconnected from our Heavenly Father. So how did humanity get this way, where the orphan spirit thing is going on, trying to control us, trying to get us disconnected from our Father, and like we have no home, which is heaven, right? Let's zoom out for a minute, look at the origins, go all the way back to the beginning. Where did the orphan spirit thing come from? First thing we need to understand is the devil was the first orphan. Before the devil became the devil, before he became Satan, his name was Lucifer. And in fact, in Isaiah chapter 14 and Ezekiel chapter 28, we read the story. Lucifer, who was once the lead angel, the main guy who ministered and worshiped in the very presence of God. Scripture tells us he was one of the most beautiful angels. He had all these amazing precious stones, it describes, that covered his body. Some translations even describe like musical instruments as part of his body, which, by the way, is where the whole idea of Lucifer being a worship leader in heaven comes from, right? Scripture says that Lucifer would take all the praise of the angel, and on God's holy mountain, walking among the fiery stones, he would bring their praise to God. But at some point, he became proud, and he said, I deserve the praise. I will ascend to the place where God is. It's like he was literally saying, look at me. Look how awesome I am. I will be lifted up. I will be like God. Lucifer wanted to be higher than God. He wanted all the praise that was going to God. But honestly, that didn't go over very well with God. It didn't settle well. And so he cast Satan out. He cast Lucifer to the earth. And it was the pride of Satan, the hatred that caused him to be destroyed. Revelation tells us that a third of all the angels followed the rebellion and the pride of Lucifer and were kicked out of heaven. This is the origin of evil. This is where demons originated from. Come on, this is the original Star Wars, baby, right there, you know? See, it's when Satan decided to rebel and live outside of God's authority that he became the first orphan. What happened to him? He was cast out of heaven, no home, and he was eternally disconnected from the Father. From that moment on, Satan's number one goal was to turn every single person into a version, an orphan of himself, fatherless and trying to find somewhere to call home. It's one of his main strategies, to pull people away from God the Father so that he can destroy their inheritance of their home in heaven, right? We see the devil's strategy on full display in his very first interaction with people that God had made, right? God creates humanity, male and female. He creates Adam and Eve in his image and puts them in the Garden of Eden. We could call that their home. It's there in their home. They have direct connection. They have relationship with God the Father. So deep of a relationship. In fact, that Genesis 3 tells us that God walked in the cool of the day to see Adam and Eve, which, by the way, I think is totally awesome. I hope that when I get to heaven that I can walk somewhere, anywhere, in the cool of the day with God. That would be amazing, right? So in other words, humanity, people, we did not start out as orphans. Come on. We started out God's will, his intention was that we would have deep personal connection with the Father and be in a home. But what happened? Satan shows up and does what he always does. Lies, deceives, tempts, destroys. You don't need to do what God said. That's probably not what he even meant. He didn't mean you would die. He just meant you would be more like him. And it's not that bad anyway. Go ahead and eat the fruit. See, God had told Adam and Eve, do not eat from the fruit of this one tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You can have everything else, just don't eat from this one. Satan comes in, lies, tempts, deceives. And what did they do? Adam and Eve disobeyed God. They ate the fruit from the tree. And when they did, sin entered the human race along with the orphan spirit, right? In Genesis chapter 3, verse 23, we read what happened. So the Lord banished him, Adam, from the garden to work the ground from which he was taken. And after the man was driven out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden a cherubim, an angel, and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. In other words, this angel had a lightsaber. Come on. You thought Star Wars was original, but it's right there in the Bible, baby. Come on. So what was the consequence of Adam and Eve's sin? They got kicked out of their home, and they were disconnected from the Father. They became orphans, just like Lucifer. And from that moment on, the orphan spirit has been passed on to each and every person since Adam and Eve. And it's why mankind, humanity, has been on a journey to try to find connection to a father, to find connection to something and a place to call home. See, the orphan spirit has invaded humanity, and we've been without a connection to the Heavenly Father. We've been looking for a home, but here's the good news. This is why Jesus came to the earth. See, when Jesus died on the cross and was resurrected, it was so that you and I, so that anyone who would put their faith in him would no longer have to struggle with this orphan spirit thing. That through the cross, through the resurrection, Jesus gave us connection to the Father and placed us in an eternal home called heaven. Come on, baby. This is amazing. Let's give God some praise today. Now, one of the last things that Jesus said to his disciples, and after he was resurrected, before he ascended to earth, right? He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm going to prepare a home for you. Come on. And when he ascended into heaven, guess what he did? He left his disciples here on the earth with the mission of connecting people to the Father. Go into all the world, preach the gospel, that you can know God, that you have a home. See, it's that moment that you received Christ. You weren't beamed up to heaven. You were left here on the earth. That's what Christianity is all about. That's what church is really all about. It's not a social club. No, we are a family on mission. We're a body. We're a house. And the mission, God wants his kids back. God wants to know his sons and his daughters and bring them into his house. Come on, people are living day in and day out, struggling with this orphan spirit, disconnected from their Father, trying to find a home, looking everywhere. And man, meanwhile, you and I, we've been set free from the curse of sin and death. We've been adopted into the family of God. And now God has called us. He's anointed us, empowered us with his strength and his spirit. He's given us access to everything he promised in his word so that we would be equipped and ready and be in the business of helping everyone we see to be connected to their Father so that they could have an eternal home. Come on. So what does this orphan spirit look like? Or even better yet, what are the tendencies? What are the characteristics that show in life of someone who's struggling with the orphan spirit? Because if we're going to be the ones to go out and help other people be free from this orphan spirit, we've got to figure out how to live free from it ourselves. Come on. So I want to look today at 10 tendencies and characteristics to give us kind of a glimpse of the orphan spirit and what it looks like when it tries to rear its head in our lives. I believe that through Jesus, we no longer have to wrestle with the orphan spirit. We've been set free so we can rest as sons and daughters of God. But we've got to be aware of the schemes and the attacks of the enemy so he doesn't just come in and have control in our lives. If you're taking notes today, I hope you'll write a few of these down. Here's the first one. People who struggle with the orphan spirit have a victim mentality. They think that the world is always out to get them. They're always being persecuted. No one is for them. Like, oh man, everyone's out to get me. Everything bad happens to me. I guess it's just like everything happens in my life. The orphan spirit, number two, those struggling in that area distort reality. They see things that aren't really there and believe things that aren't really true. And it happens all the time. You know, I don't know if you've ever been at work and the boss or someone upstairs, you know, makes a decision, passes a policy down, and they're like, I bet they did that because of me. I bet they saw me or I bet they passed over me for that promotion because of whatever. There's almost this belief, you know, that everyone is talking about them all the time, that they are the cause of everything. You know, people at work are talking about them around the water cooler. They were probably talking about me, gossiping about me when I walked away. People in your family, they're probably talking about me. People in the church, and they're all talking about me, you know, all the time, you know, and it's like, wow, you must be really important. See, people struggling in this orphan spirit distort the truth of reality because of insecurity. The orphan spirit will cause people to be jealous of others' successes, accomplishments, and blessings. Someone gets blessed, you know, and we're like, wow, must be nice. You got that new iPhone 12 Plus? Good for you. What we really meant to say is, I hope you drop it and break it. You know, or we're scrolling Instagram and it's like, wow, must be nice to go on that kind of vacation. I wish I could. You know, it's an indication of the orphan spirit. Here's another characteristic of the orphan spirit. Using anger and rage to get your way. Now, please don't nudge your spouse right now or whatever. Just keep those elbows and the eyes locked right on that screen. You know what I'm saying? I don't want you to get in trouble. But it's almost like anger is a tool. You know, it's a manipulation. Like, they know how to get loud and demonstrative at just the right time. I don't have to be right. I just got to be the loudest. And I can use it to make someone else feel bad to get my way. right? It's the orphan spirit. Now, here's another tendency. The orphan spirit wants a person to feel like they don't belong in any context. Now, this is a big one because it's a mindset. Remember, the orphan spirit, it's a belief that we're alone, that we're disconnected, that we are homeless. We don't have a home, and it feeds isolation, depression. And we see it manifesting, right, in a generation that's struggling with fatherlessness. And now they're cutting, they're overdosing, they're self-medicating, they're taking their own lives, all the while thinking, no one loves me. I don't look like them, so I don't belong anywhere. I don't fit in. What's my purpose? Does anyone even really love me or care about me? It's the orphan spirit running rampant in a generation. They could even, person could walk into a party. Everyone's having a great time, but they're down, hiding in the corner. Not talking to anybody, feeling left out of anything. Fine, I got that smile on my face, but just remember, as a son, as a daughter of God, you are already accepted. You already have a seat at the table. You belong in every context, in every situation, because the life and the love of God is in you. And greater is He that is in you than any spirit or anything else is in the world. And I gotta say, and you have a place here at Victory. No matter what your story is, no matter what your background, no matter what lifestyle you're living, man, we love you. God loves you. There's a seat for you here at Victory, a place for you to belong. Another tendency of the orphan spirit is constantly trying to earn love, right? This is where so much of the battle of the orphan spirit takes place. Do you see what I did? Do you see what I did? Do you like me now? Do you approve of me, please? Can I fit in? It's this constant nagging feeling. Am I good enough now? Am I good enough? Am I good enough? And when that orphan spirit thing is working in a person, it doesn't matter how much praise or affirmation or accolades come our way. It's never enough because it's this bottomless pit of trying to find approval and acceptance from some source somewhere, and it's never enough. And left unchecked in a person's life, it quickly goes from trying to earn love to the fear of people, the fear of man. And now our decisions, our beliefs, how we see ourselves are driven not on what God says, but on the fear of people, what they might think, what they might say, what they might not say, or whatever. We're afraid of what people are gonna do or say. And so much of my life, my story, was stuck in this place. Trying to earn love, trying to earn acceptance from people because I was afraid of what they might think. I was afraid they wouldn't like me, or worse, I was afraid they would think I wasn't good enough. Like, I just don't measure up. They're gonna think I'm terrible and dumb and all these things. And it drove my decisions and so much of my life until I got to this point where I experienced freedom. See, the orphan spirit, this whole thing, it's a cruel deception. It's a prison from our spiritual enemy, the devil, that wants to cut us off from our Father so we can't see that we have a Father, so we can't see that we have a home, so we can't see that we have a purpose. It wants to keep us bound up so we never experience the good that our Father has for us in our lives. And yes, it's in the big moments, but it comes in all the in-between moments, the big and the small. Every moment of life, it wants to creep in and get us in that place where we're trying to earn it. Did you see what I did? Did you see that? Was it good enough for me to be accepted by you? I mean, I know after a Sunday, like, can we be real today at church? It comes at me. Maybe if I would have preached better, more people would have liked it. Maybe if I would have been a better pastor, more people would want to come to church. Like, it's this thing that's trying to come at us in this craziness. And we got to be strong enough in our spirit to, like, be fed up with enough. I'm done. And here's the thing. You and I have the power to put a stop to the orphan spirit running wild in our thoughts and in our lives. You know, I think Vanilla Ice had it partly right. Stop. Collaborate and listen, you know. You know, he had it partly right. If we don't put a stop to this orphan spirit thing and begin to listen to the words of our Father and begin to collaborate with what He has said about us, that we are loved, that we are accepted, that we belong, that we have a purpose. Not only that, but we're called, we're anointed, we belong in every context. If we can't stop long enough to realize that what God says about us, how God sees us is true, that we are His sons and we are His daughters, then no amount of praise, no amount of acceptance or accolades will ever fill the emptiness. Here's another tendency of the orphan spirit, constantly dealing with fear and shame. And it's the constant presence of this fear and shame in our hearts and in our minds that can cause a person to feel constant anxiousness, right? Because in that place, we're never home. We're never settled. It just keeps churning like the waves of the sea when a storm is brewing. And it's in this place, man, isn't it just so hard to find peace? It's so hard to just sit and be still and know that He is God. so hard to even know that he's your father. Sometimes it can even feel hard, like, God, do you even care about me? Do you really love me? Because of this constant churning of fear and shame. And this is why it's such a huge epidemic of people in our world searching to find peace and relief from the pain and the shouting and the fear and the shame and the guilt. And so what do? We run to things for a moment of relief. People run to whatever is available, drugs, illegal or prescription, alcohol. I just need to take the edge off. Netflix, smoking, images on a screen, or whatever the drug of choice, whatever the escape is in the moment. I just need a moment of peace. It's the constant fear, shame, and pain on the inside. It's like the person who's just constantly sitting at the table, bouncing their leg, you know? It's like there's no rest, there's no stop, and it's just kind of like this thing. But check this out. As a son, as a daughter of God, come on, you have been filled with the love of God. 1 John 4:18 tells us just how powerful the love of God is. I mean, you're like, great, the love of God, thanks. It says, there is no fear in love. Come on. But perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with torment. The one who fears has not been made perfect or matured in love. Man, so, man, when fear is running wild, you have what you need to get fear out of your life. It's the love of God, and it's there to drive out the fear. Come on. Here's one we talked about at the beginning of our Sons and Daughters series. The orphan spirit hides behind rules to avoid relationship. And we looked at it last week. It's the story of the two sons from Luke 15. Right? Both sons were affected by this orphan spirit. One rebelled, wanted to do his own thing, but the other one turned religious. I've done all these things you've asked, and I still didn't get what I wanted. He was already a son. He was in the house. He had access to everything, but he saw his value, his place, through what he did, not through a connection to his father. The orphan spirit is easily and constantly offended. See, when a person has the orphan spirit thing going on in them, like they're constantly picking up offense and bitterness, any little thing, and they're upset, they're offended. Do you know what they said? They looked at me weird, and you know what? They're dead to me. I don't like the way that they said. I didn't like that thing they posted and whatever else. And it's so common in our culture to be offended. People wear it like a badge of honor. Look, 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 they're offended. See how offended they are? And they just put it on display for everyone to see in their lives. And they become so easily offended and so bitter that then they start to be offended for things that happen to someone else. Well, they're offended for them. I mean, it didn't even happen in their life, but they're offended for what happened to that person. And it's the orphan spirit. And the reality is that person that's picking up all this offense and bitterness and holding it in their lives, holding it in their minds, it's no wonder then that they feel distant from God. It's no surprise then when they're holding all this unforgiveness and bitterness that it begins to affect the health and their physical bodies and their relationship with others because it's a toxic poison, right? Here's the last tendency I want to give us today. The orphan spirit is always self-centered. It's almost like if everything is not revolving around them, then it's not that important, you know? It's like you could be at the birthday party. Did they like my gift? Why did I have to sit down at the end of the table? They didn't even talk to me very much, and they should have been talking more to me. I mean, fine, we can sing your song, but then I need to come back to me. Like the first thing out of their mouths is all about them, how everything affects them, and everything is them in some way. It all comes back, oh, it's your celebration, but really, this is my moment. It's the orphan spirit. And I believe that our spiritual enemy, the devil, uses it to constantly try to get us to feel disconnected from our Father and like we have no home. Maybe as we're talking through some of these indications today, most of us, hopefully all of us, are self-aware enough to kind of be like, oh yeah, that's me. I never saw it this way. Yikes. But that's me. That's my tendency or whatever. And listen, I don't want you to feel down or discouraged. This is not to make you feel bad. This is good news. You're a son. You're a daughter of God. If you put your faith in Jesus, then listen. Your Father wants to spend time with you and start washing out all of the ugly, all of that stuff, so that you can live free from the orphan spirit through the power of Christ. Now, there's a story of David and Goliath. It's found in 1 Samuel chapter 17, one of my most favorite Bible stories that there is. But there's this part in the story that I always just kind of skimmed over. It was like this verse that was there, but I never put much stock in it. You know, and as God was bringing me in my journey of freedom from this orphan spirit in my own life, this scripture became like, it brought in a whole new meaning of what it means to be a son and a daughter in the family of God. David, he goes out to see his brothers who are in the army, right? While he's there, there's this giant Goliath. He starts yelling obscenities about God and at the people of Israel. And David's like, yo, is anyone going to deal with this giant? Anyone going to take care of this problem? And everyone in the army was too scared to deal with it. So David volunteers, I'll do it. Goes to fight the giant. He tries on Saul's armor, it's too big, doesn't fit him. So he takes his 5 smooth stones and his slingshot, runs out to meet the giant, and with one stone, he kills the giant. He falls over, and when he does that, the armies of Israel run, defeat the Philistines. David is there, standing over this giant, takes the giant's sword, cuts his head off with his own sword, picks up the severed head and is carrying it with him when he's brought back to the king. Ah, David is savage. I love it. Here's the verse, though, that I want us to see. This kind of minute detail in the story. So David, imagine this young 17, 18-year-old boy standing there with the severed head of the giant before the king. It's 1 Samuel 17:58. King Saul looks at this kid and is like, whose son are you, young man? It's like, yo, who's your daddy? You know, I love what David said. He said, I am the son of your servant Jesse of Bethlehem. Come on. Now, it doesn't seem like much at first, but what did he say? I am the son of your servant of Bethlehem. I mean, I've read this story I don't know how many times, but when I hear that phrase, I am the son of your servant Jesse, connection to his father of Bethlehem, his home. David knew who he was. He knew his identity. I am a son and I have a home, right? And while we know that this home wasn't just any home, this was a foreshadowing moment of what Jesus was going to do. We know Jesus was born in the town of Bethlehem, and it's no coincidence. The whole history of the world changed in Bethlehem, the place of promise. It's through this city that Jesus made a way. He began the journey so that we could have a father, so that we could have a home. Come on, it changes everything when we realize we are sons and daughters of God, and you have a home, an eternal home in heaven, and you have a loving father. So whether you had good parents, bad parents, absent parents, maybe even abusive parents, maybe there are some of you had leaders in your life that jacked you up or hurt you in some way, and kind of let this orphan spirit thing grow in your life. Today, I believe God is speaking to each and every one of us. Hey, son. Hey, daughter. You are loved. I love you. I'm your father, and I love you. And you have an eternal home. Come on. So how can we be healed of this orphan spirit? The answer is the spirit of sonship and daughtership. For like, yeah, one of those characteristics is me. What do we do about it? Remember, the orphan spirit is a mindset. It's a way of seeing and believing. So it's not cast out. It can only be replaced by the spirit of sonship and daughtership. Let me show you this in Scripture. Romans chapter 8, verse 15 says, the spirit you received. Now, the spirit, what he's talking about is when we put our faith in Christ, we receive love and forgiveness of God in our lives. We receive the Spirit of God in us. He says the Spirit you received when you received Christ does not make you slaves so that you would live in fear again. So there it is. God does not want us to live in fear of being disconnected from Him and having no home. See, fear makes a person a slave. In other words, obligated to be a certain way, do what they need to do, or face punishment. Right? And that's where so many people are. Oh, if I don't do the right things, God's going to be mad at me. On the other hand, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. There is love. Freedom from fear. Love that drives out fear. Freedom from the grip of the orphan spirit. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship and daughtership. And by Him, the Spirit, we cry, Abba, Father, my Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are the children of God. Come on, let's give God some praise today. We are His sons and we are His daughters. In other words, we can approach our Heavenly Father. We can have deep and personal relationship with Him. So how do we receive healing and freedom in the Spirit from this orphan spirit. It's right there in the scripture. It's receiving the spirit of adoption as sons and daughters of God, realizing you're not on your own. You are adopted into the family. It's this miraculous thing that God does when we receive Christ in our lives. We begin on this journey as his sons and daughters, where now we're set free, we're self-aware, and we're able to be on the lookout in our lives and recognize when this orphan mindset is trying to creep in. Salvation happens in a moment, but living in freedom, living in your sonship and daughtership, is an everyday decision. It's the decision to first repent to our Heavenly Father, say, Father, I'm so sorry that I aligned my thinking and my believing with an orphan spirit. I repent. I'm sorry I've not seen myself as the son, as the daughter that you say I am. I'm sorry I've been jealous. I'm sorry that I've been angry. I'm sorry I've chosen to try and make everything about me. It starts in this place with God, of humility, of repentance, and going a new direction, walking away from those mentalities so we can walk to our Father. The second decision is daily renewing our mind. So much of it is won or lost in our thinking in this battle with the orphan spirit, because it's these orphan tendencies that want to influence our hearts, influence our minds, so that we would not experience what has for us. But we've got to stop in those moments and start drawing on the love of God, on the power of God that he's given us in abundance. See, this is what the grace of God does in those pressure moments, in those down moments, in those anxious moments where life is crazy. The grace of God is present in your life to empower you to reach out and connect to your Heavenly Father. You're not alone in those moments. Wherever you are today, come on, let's just take the next few moments. Let's begin to pray and make this connection with our Heavenly Father. Lord, I thank you that you are moving right now, that you are a Father who loves us extravagantly. So God, I pray right now, those that have been struggling with fear and shame, those that have been dealing with anger and selfishness, self-centeredness, and whatever other tendencies of this orphan spirit, Lord God, I thank you right now that we don't have to be on our own, that we are connected to you, our Father, and we can know we have a home with you in heaven forever. Lord, I pray right now, Lord God, that your love is being poured out in our heart. Lord, those that have had difficult pasts and situations with leaders that have hurt them, or our father figures and parents that have hurt them, or whatever, Lord God, all those wounds of the past, Lord God, I pray that even in this moment, your love would invade those places to bring healing, to bring purpose, Lord God, so that we could rise up and be connected with you, our Father, so that we could be those that give our lives to help other people be connected to you as well. God, I thank you that where your spirit is, there is freedom. There's freedom to rest as your sons in your daughter. So I pray for courage in our hearts. God, I pray those of us, maybe we haven't even been self-aware to realize what's going on, that in this moment right now, through your grace, you're giving us the ability to be like, that's not the spirit of God. I'm a son, I'm a daughter, to put a stop to this orphan thing having free reign in our lives. From this moment on, no longer do we allow the enemy to have free reign and access in our lives, because we are sons, we are daughters. We're not trying to earn it, God. We are running to you, our Father, because you love us and we love you. And as we continue in this moment of prayer together, maybe you're the one who you need a relationship with God. If you're really honest, you don't really know God for yourself. You know all the things to do. You've been the one, you've been trying to earn God's love. You've been trying to earn your place in heaven, as if somehow you could do enough good to, you know, make God love you. You've been trying to memorize all the Bible stories. You've been trying to be a good person, you know, so that you can get there. And the truth is, there's nothing that we could do on our own to get there. There's nothing we could do. That's why Jesus came. He was the only one that could pay for our sins and make a way for us to be connected to the Father. And if you don't know God for yourself, or maybe you've known God in the past, but you've just walked away from him, like, I don't need this. This is your moment. Everything was put together so that right now you could experience the love of God in a real and personal way. That's what it's all about. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to put your life together. It's just in a moment saying, God, I need you in my life. I give you everything. That's what it is. It's just saying, God, I give you my life fully. And those of you who are here right now, you're saying, yes, Pastor, that's me. I need to give God my life today. I need to come back to God and recommit my life to my, I'm going to turn from my sins and run towards my Father, run towards Christ. Man, as you do, every sin will be forgiven and you'll be made brand new, brought into the family of God. If that's you today, you're saying, pray for me. You can click to raise your hand in the chat, or you can simply type the name Jesus in the comments wherever you're watching today. But can we join all of our voices together in prayer so that no one is praying alone today? Would you repeat this prayer after me? Heavenly Father, forgive me of my sins. Make me new. I confess Jesus is my Savior, and He is the Lord of my life. Thank you for filling me with your Spirit and bringing me into your family. In Jesus' name, amen. If you just prayed that prayer, then right then, you've been made brand new. God poured His love in your heart. He put His life, His strength, and His power in you, and your spirit has come to life. You are a son. You are a daughter of God. So let me say, welcome to the family. And I would love to have the privilege to pray with you, to encourage you, give you some resources to help you continue to grow closer to God and in your faith. Would you send me an email to info@victoryorlando.com, or just send me a direct message on whatever platform you're watching today. Thank you so much for being here with us at Church Online, and I can't wait to see you again here next week at Church Online.